98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
All right, got a lot going on this Tuesday afternoon, so let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, tell you what's going on in the world of sports, get you let's caught up. It's 4 o'clock reset here, Gambo. We start with the Phoenix Suns. They have made it official, signing center Bismack Biyombo for the remainder of the season. We knew this was going to come down. They just made it official today. And the Suns are back in action tonight, taking on a red-hot Toronto Raptor team that's won six of their last seven, playing real good basketball right now. No Cam Johnson. He's out with a sprained ankle. Landry Shamet, coming off of health and safety protocols, is probable for tonight's game. Starts at 5:30. You'll hear it on ESPN 620.
Yeah, they got their guys back for the Miami game. They got blown out. Miami just hit all those three. Hit 22 three-pointers in that game the other night. You got DeAndre Ayton back, JaVale McGee back, Jay Crowder back, but those guys weren't able to contribute very much. It'll be interesting to see if they have their legs under them for this game against Toronto as they start this five-game road trip.
College football's national championship last night won by the Georgia Bulldogs for the first time in 41 years. They claim the crown as they beat Alabama 33-18 in what was a very entertaining football game last night.
It was a great game. I think I was seeing something about, like, I don't know that the ratings were great for it. I don't know. Did you see something on that earlier?
I did.
I was looking about something like the ratings weren't up to par for what some of the other championships were. And my bad for not having that up right now. But, you know, it was surprising to me because I ended up being the first half was a little boring. I mean, it was a lot of field goals. But that second half, man, you had the block field goal. You had the big fumble, and the guy kept it in bounds. You had the touchdown on the free play, the interception return from the Scottsdale Swaro kid. Ended up being a hell of a second half, and especially fourth quarter.
Yeah, I saw it flash on Twitter about 45 minutes ago. I can't find it right now, but I can tell you it was a lot better than last year's ratings, but still very low compared to what they usually get for national championship games. The Arizona Wildcats got a big-time commitment on Monday, landing Washington State starting quarterback Jaden DeLora via the transfer portal. He was the Pac-12's Offensive Freshman of the Year in 2021. 23 touchdowns, completed about 63% of his passes. Second-year freshman has 3 years of eligibility left thanks to playing thanks to the pandemic-impacted 2020 season. That's a pretty good get for U of A, isn't it?
It's a big-time get right there. Absolutely. I mean, he should be the starting quarterback. They've got a lot of quarterbacks, but, you know, you got McLeod and you've got Cruz, but, I mean, this guy's going to be your starting quarterback. I mean, he did a good job at Washington State. Now, they just got a transfer, too, and I think that's why he decided to leave. But, yeah, DeLore, not a big kid, only 6 feet tall. Out of St. Louis High School in Honolulu. But he had offers from Ohio State, USC, BYU, went to Washington State, put up a lot of good numbers in his career there. So, yeah, he should end up being the starting quarterback at U of A. That's what I would expect.
Not sure what took him so long, but the New York Giants today fired head coach Joe Judge. That makes it 7 vacancies now in the NFL, if you count the Raiders as a vacancy, given that there's an interim coach. Now, here's interesting
Yankees
news.
Yankees just fired Billy Martin. Just breaking news. Billy Martin has just been fired by George Steinbrenner.
The owner of the Giants, John Mara, said in a statement that the way this is going to go, they're going to hire a new GM first, and that new GM is going to be in charge of hiring the next head coach to replace Joe Judge.
That's the way it should be.
And
right?
And I'll tell you what's interesting about that. Two members of the Cardinals front office are on the Giants list to interview for that GM's job. Adrian Wilson is one. Quentin Harris is the other, and it got me thinking. If that really is how it's going to work, and one of those Cardinals front office guys get the job, would they take Vance Joseph with them?
Possibly.
As their head coach, if they really get to choose? Just a thought.
Yeah, no, I mean, familiarity, right? I mean, familiarity. I mean, you know Vance, you trust him. He's a leader of men. I think he deserves another head coaching opportunity. And, I mean, look at Denver. They just fired their coach. So they fired Vance, they replaced him with Fangio, and they've already fired Fangio. So, like, no, I mean, really. I mean, it's just these teams that just got – I mean, the Giants, I mean, the last decent coach was Tom Coughlin. They've had like four coaches since then. They've all sucked.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to get a good coach.
And Vance Joseph, by the way, officially the Miami Dolphins reached out to the Cardinals, according to a report from Albert Breer, and they have put in a request to interview Vance Joseph for their head coaching job. But our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show, really, it's kind of confirming what we expected, confirming, quite frankly, what we knew based off of Gambo's reporting earlier in the season. But this one comes from Jeremy Fowler, who reports that the Cardinals are hopeful that defensive end J.J. Watt can start practicing on Thursday, which would give him a very good chance to play Monday in the wild card game against the Rams.
Look, they're going to get a lot of these guys back. You've got a lot of guys out. DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, Chase Edmonds, James Conner, Robert Alford, Marco Wilson, Jordan Phillips, Rondale Moore, Kelvin Beachum. You got Rashad Breeland. They're going to get most of those guys back. I think there's a good chance that J.J. Watt is going to be able to play this week. I'm not saying this is likely. Remember, I said I had to make sure the people on Twitter understand. I'm not saying it's likely. I said there's a chance that Hopkins could play. Now, he might be 2 weeks away. It may not be this week. But that injury is the injury Hop had with the MCL tear is at the point right now where right around now, you know, he should be able to start doing some things. Now, he's been on crutches, so I would not say it's likely he will play. I'm just basically saying there is a chance that, you know, and if it's not this week, then maybe it would be next week. I don't think that DeAndre Hopkins is out for the playoffs. This week, again, not that it's likely he'll play this week, but just saying I think there's a chance that, you know, at some point in the next week or two, you can get him back. More likely you get a lot of these other guys back. More likely J.J. Watt's going to play in this game. But you want to get, you know, look, Chase Edmonds is going to play from what I'm hearing. Chase Edmonds will be out there, and he'll play. I expect that James Conner will be there. It'd be nice to have that 1-2 punch.
Absolutely.
But you know this, man. They need these reinforcements back in the worst way.
Yeah, James Conner is the one that, you know, and everything with the Monday night game, everything's pushed back a day. Normally, tomorrow is the first day the Cardinals are back on the practice field. That's now going to be Thursday because everything is, you know,
right,
pushed back by one day. So we really won't know until Thursday. We are all going to be watching with great interest James Conner's availability, Chase Edmonds, as you mentioned, his availability, J.J. Watt, and if this report is true that he's able to practice on Thursday, we're going to be looking at the cornerbacks big time, Marco Wilson and his availability, Bashaud Breeland and how much he's been able to pick up. There are so many X factors in terms of the injuries that picking just one and saying this is the most important guy for them to get back. I mean, I think in a perfect world, it would probably be Hopkins. But he's also the one that we're probably the most uncertain about because he's, you know, it's awfully quick for him to come back. Would you disagree with that? Would you pick somebody else?
I think that it's more, and this is crazy, I think it's more quantity over quality at this point because so many guys are out. Like, you know, if I could have five or six guys back, but it's not my number one guy, I'd almost want that than rather just having my number one guy back. Like, if you said, you can have Hopkins back, but that's it. Or you can have Marco Wilson back and Rondale Moore back. And you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
I think at this point, I think quantity over quality because of how many guys are out. I mean, you got to get a cornerback back. You got to get one of these corners back. I can't have that guy Borders playing ever again. Like, ever. Like, not even on, you know, the flag football team that's playing down at the high school next Saturday. Like, I don't even want to play it on that team.
You can text us your thoughts. The FanDuel text line is open right now at 620-620. Does it matter that the Rams are going into the playoffs with a loss? Not to Sean McVay.
I choose to say it doesn't mean.
Well then, that's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk cards, Rams, now.
Rams Niners ended up in a win for the 49ers, their sixth straight over LA, and it came in front of a crowd that was very pro San Francisco, even though the game was in Los Angeles. Sean McVay yesterday, the head coach of the Rams, we are moving on from that game.
We want to play every game to be able to win, but I think the fortunate thing and the half glass full approach that we'll take, Kevin, is that still found a way to win the division by winning 12 of your 17 games. Guys came ready to go. They battled, just didn't make enough plays. And there were some things that you certainly want to do as a coach to help try to facilitate finding a way to get that done. But I'm just grateful for the opportunity that we have to continue to play. And that's what gives me confidence. And then if you just look, you know, you can always draw on previous experiences. Going into the playoffs, winning or losing really hasn't been much of a factor on how teams do, depending upon whichever lens you want to look at it through. So we're going to choose to say it doesn't mean.
Here you go.
We are going to choose to say that losing to the 49ers doesn't mean you know what.
A lot of stuff's getting bleeped out. There was somebody got interviewed last night after the championship game, and he said, what did you say during this? And he said, well, I said that blank, blank, blank. And then, you remember that? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Well, that was after the game last night. They asked somebody that.
One of the players?
Yeah, one of the players.
One of the student athletes?
What happened? What did you guys say to each other after the interception or whatever? Well, I can't remember exactly what it was.
No, I didn't see that.
They had to beep him out. Listen, what else are you going to say? You're gonna harp on it? You're gonna cry over spilt milk? The game's over. You lost. I mean, you can't sit there and you got to move on. You won the division. You won 12 games. You know, listen, it's. You know, you've sent something to me a couple times in the last week about it doesn't matter if you go into the playoffs winning a lot of games or not. Like, that's overrated. The momentum is completely overrated. They're going to go out. This game's going to start, and, you know, somebody's going to punch somebody in the mouth first, and there's your momentum. Whether you carry that with you or not. Like, I mean, look, even in this last game, the Rams had the momentum. They were up 17-0. Momentum changes. Momentum changes minute by minute, game by game, play by play, quarter by quarter. Momentum isn't something that gets carried over and automatically lasts. It doesn't. The Rams losing doesn't mean anything. The Cardinals losing doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's how you respond in this game on Monday.
Everything changes in the NFL so fast. And if there was any evidence of that, just look at what the Cardinals did, losing to the Colts, beating the Cowboys, losing to the Seahawks. We were kicking dirt on them. We were singing their praises, and we were kicking dirt on them. And over a two-week span, we had all these things. Because in the NFL...
I love you, I love you not. I mean, right?
It changes so fast. And you're right. I do keep sending you that article. because we've talked about it, but it's correct.
It's correct.
It proves on multiple levels that it really just doesn't matter. This is a game-by-game, quarter-by-quarter league. And what you did... going into these playoffs, poor or great, it doesn't matter all that much. So, no, he's right. The 49ers loss doesn't mean anything. I tell you, from that 49ers game, what does mean something, and that's the amount of the 49er fans that were out there, and that is something that Sean McVay even acknowledged yesterday. It kind of took us by surprise a little bit.
It did catch us off guard, I think, just because of the way that it's been this year. I mean, you've been at all those games, Lindsay. I mean, it's been a great... great atmospheres, great environments. Yesterday was the same thing, but there was a lot of red there. And that was, you know, that was definitely, it was a surprise, I think is a fair way to put it.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford said he was surprised about it too. Wasn't expecting it. They had to go to the silent count. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there will be Cardinal fans there at this game. I mean, it's L.A., man. It's never going to be the great home field advantage in any of their sports. So, you know, whether we're surprised by that or not, I don't know. I just know that the Cardinals play very well on the road. They've gone to that stadium and won this year. So as much as McVay's sitting there, it don't mean anything. I mean, wouldn't you expect the same thing out of Cliff if they asked him about a loss to Seattle? Sure. I mean, you lost to Seattle. What's Seattle doing right now? They're home. What am I doing? I'm getting ready for a playoff game.
Yeah.
The Seattle players are on vacation. They're in Aruba right now. They're in Jamaica, the Bahamas. Come on, pretty mama, whatever.
I was going to say, are you singing Beach Boys to me? Are you doing a poetry slam of the Beach Boys right here on this on
Aruba,
this
Aruba, Bahamas.
Come on, pretty mama.
Yeah, whatever. That's where they are. So, like, you know, I'm getting ready for a playoff game, and Seattle's home. So if I was Cliff, I mean, that's what I would be saying. Yeah, they beat us. They beat us. Credit to them. They showed up. They played hard, and we didn't play. But we have a chance to fix it. They don't. And that's what you have. You have a chance to fix it. You didn't play well. You have a chance to play well next week. Seattle doesn't have a chance to play well next week. The next time Seattle can play well is in September.
Mm-hmm.
That's like in 9 months, 8 months. That's when they could play well. For the Cardinals, they, you know, whether they take advantage of that chance or not, who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But they have the chance and Seattle doesn't.
As far as the fans go, Sam Farmer is an NFL writer with the LA Times. He was on Bickley and Murata today. He was asked about all those 49er fans that were there yesterday, or 2 days ago, I should say. And he said, actually, it kind of surprised you. There are 49er fans all over Southern California.
A lot of people don't know that the 49ers are a hugely popular team, even in Southern California. Just dating back to the 80s and the success they had in the 80s. They engendered a lot of fans down here. And so didn't totally surprise me that a lot of them showed up.
I do think, though, there is an opportunity here. And I know our friends over at Bird Gang Travel, I'm sure all over at Cambo, with it only being, what, 350, 400 miles away, six-hour drive in the car. We've all made that drive to Los Angeles. We all know how to get, right? There is an opportunity. I heard Vince Murata this morning on the morning show. I think he did like a SeatGeek search. Tickets aren't that expensive. They're fairly easy to get. I just wonder, given the general, I don't want to say the kind of the negative feeling about the Cardinals right now, but there is kind of a bad taste in everybody's mouth since they've lost four of their last five.
Of course.
I wonder how much of that will impact Cardinals fans' willingness to go, you know what? Screw it. Pack up the car. Let's buy some tickets and let's go. You know, like I normally, I think if they had finished the season a little stronger, maybe there'd be more of a push by lots of Cardinal fans to go.
So you're saying there might not be the belief that your money's going to go to good use?
I'm wondering if there's going to be the belief that your money's not going to go to. I don't know for sure. I just think the way they close the season might not be the most compelling case for a bunch of people to get in the car and drive to L.A. to watch the game. I'm just wondering if that impacts Cardinal fans' willingness to go make that trip and go buy those tickets.
Some people probably. I mean, not everybody, right? I mean, but some people might be affected by that. Like, hey, I don't, you know. Listen, there are a lot of people that just love to go on the road to watch games. Like, you know, hey, listen, I got an opportunity, I'm going to go. I mean, if you don't have a bunch of kids and you have no commitments and you can afford a ticket and, you know, and a hotel for a night and you want to drive or flip, yeah, people like, I mean, that's fun, right? That's fun. I mean, think about when you were younger, right? Without the family obligations and everything. That would be a blast.
Yeah, just get in the car and go.
Just get in the car and go to a game.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be. Well, if you don't go, the Cardinals are playoff bound. It's time to rise up, Red Sea, and we're getting you ready for kickoff this Monday against the Los Angeles. The big red viewing party is happening at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Watch the game at your nearest Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers location. Enjoy delicious handcrafted food and specials on Four Peaks Beers. That includes AZ Hazy, a delightfully cloudy ale with juicy flavors of passion fruit, guava, and kiwi. Embrace the haze. For more information, I heard you mmming back there.
Kiwi and guava and
passion fruit. It's a fruity beer. For more, check out coldbeers.com. Four Peaks Brewing Company, an official partner of the Arizona Cardinals. As always, enjoy responsibly. Outside of wins over Tampa Bay and Arizona, the Rams have not fared well against other playoff teams they've faced this season. Is there an Achilles heel to be exploited by the Cards on Monday? That's coming up. Burns and Gambo.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
On this Tuesday afternoon, live from the Auction Community Studios, and it is time to get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. And for that, let's turn it over to Mitch.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Quarterbacks making their debut, they're in the playoffs anyway. There's a bunch of them. Kyler Murray, of course, being one of them starting this weekend. There are five total. We had to cut one of them out of this poll question.
We have one very upset Jalen Hurts stan in the comments.
Really? So. One Eagles fan who's pissed that we didn't include Jalen Hurts?
Show more respect for Jalen Hurts. And frankly, I'd rather... He's got Tom Brady. I'm sorry.
You know, what are you guys
That's the best response, though, Gambo. You know.
Yeah.
I agree with it.
Like, who... go ahead, Gambo. What were you going to say?
I always go with let's not and say we did.
Yeah. Let's That is such a that's such a like junior high thing to say. Let's not and say we did. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Did you eat your spinach?
Let's not and say we did. So what's the poll question today? What do you have for us?
So the poll question today, as you mentioned, has to do with quarterbacks making their postseason debut, including the one right here in the Valley. So out of the following, who will win the most games in this postseason? Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, or Derek Carr?
Bunch of them are going to win one. At least a couple of them are probably going to win one.
One of these two is guaranteed one, either Joe Burrow or Derek Carr, because they play each other.
I guess the question becomes, can any of them win two? Can any of these quarterbacks win two? I mean, yes, they can. Which one is the one who's going to win two playoff games?
And I went with Burrow.
Yeah. I voted for Bill Belichick, which means I voted for Mac Jones. So I voted for Mac.
It's going to be cold in Buffalo.
It is going to be.
It's going to be cold.
Chilly.
Even if he only throws it three times?
30%. Who cares? Is there a W in the column or not? I mean, whether he throws it three times or no times.
He might get another Matthew Judon rip job, but that's probably about
it. That's fine. He can handle it. It's supposed to be, what, the low is three, I think, and it's going to like a 30% chance of snow Saturday night in Buffalo.
You're an Arizona guy. You ever been in temperatures like that your whole life, Burnsy, or no?
No.
Never.
No.
You've never been in temperatures like that.
Okay, for 20 seconds. I was lucky enough to travel with the Cardinals when they were in the playoffs against Dallas, and then they lost to Minnesota the Jake Plummer year, right? And I remember getting off the plane in Minnesota, and that was the coldest I had ever been in my life. It was just a 20-second walk from the door of the plane to the gate of the airport, and I thought, this is the coldest I've ever experienced in my entire life.
It's so cold that your nostrils freeze.
Yeah, you can feel it. You can feel it in your... Gambo, that's it. I've never lived... I mean, I was a kid, and we lived in Chicago for a year. I don't remember the weather all that much. I've never lived somewhere where it gets that cold.
I have, but I've also more recently been in. I was -35 in Alaska the first week in January.
Yep,
-35 outside for 4 hours, looking at the Northern Lights. Negative temperatures in Switzerland, Finland. I mean, I like the cold. But damn, I wouldn't want to play a football game like these guys are gonna have to play a football game in that temperature. That's gonna be crazy.
Didn't they laugh at your jacket in Alaska?
They kind of mocked you, right? Give you a 30-second thing. I went to the Columbia Outlet store. Me and Shelf got all the top lines. Say, going to Alaska. I need your best boots, your best jacket, your best everything. I get there and I have it on video. The lady looks at me. She goes, "What are you wearing?" I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "What are you wearing?" I go, I'm wearing my jacket. You can't wear that outside. Because we're about to go outside. We're up this top of the mountain to go look at the Northern Lights for 4 hours from like 10 at night to 2 in the morning. She goes, "You can't wear that." I go, "Why?" She goes, "You'll die." I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "It's -35. You'll die." I go, "What do you mean we're going to die?" She goes, "I have to give you clothes." So they had to go get us clothes, parkas and boots. And they changed everything. So like we had to put all their clothes on because the lady basically told me I was going to die.
That's funny.
Sounds like
I have it on video.
Sounds like
I literally have it. I have the lady on video telling me I'm going to die.
Sounds like a creative way to upsell, in my opinion. Yeah,
well, no, it was free. They gave me the clothes for free.
Oh, they probably have them sitting in the back closet for dumb tourists like you.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
when the dummy from Arizona shows up, put this on, right?
Wait, you're buying winter clothes in Arizona to come here?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
What's the result of the poll question, since we're asking this? And just for the record, we left Jalen Hurts out because he's got Tom Brady in the first round. All these other quarterbacks are making their playoff debut this weekend. I'm sorry, Mitch. Go ahead.
It's okay. The leader's still the same as it was 2 hours ago. Joe Burrow, he's got 45.1% of this vote. Kyler Murray's got the next most at 40.4%. Mac Jones, 10.5%. Derek Carr, only 4%. Granted, he's facing Joe Burrow.
Mac Jones. I'm going Mac Jones because I'm going Bill Belichick. A vote for Bill Belichick is a vote for Mac Jones, but I can see.
So you're really not
Joe
voting
goes.
For Mac Jones?
No, I'm not, but by default I am.
It's kind of like cheating.
Well, you know, we've established on this show that I cheat every now and then, don't I?
All right. Yes,
back in high school, right?
Yeah, you plagiarized.
It
cost you the National Honor Society.
I did, and I'm still very. I'm obviously not that upset about it because I'm still cheating to this day. So it doesn't really. Yeah, I'm cheating. I'm not voting for Mac Jones. I'm voting for Bill Belichick, and because of that, I think I'm going to vote for Mac Jones. The Rams and this game coming up on Monday. You look at the Rams, and this is a matchup that it wasn't our first choice. It wasn't our second choice in terms of teams that we wanted to play. And I think most of that was probably rooted in the last time these two teams played. Aaron Donald just wrecked absolutely everything the Cardinals were trying to do. and it was a loss on national TV, Monday Night Football at home against the Rams. That being said, and we're going to do this all week long, we're going to look for reasons why the Cardinals are going to lose, reason why the Cardinals can win. File this one under a reason why the Cardinals can win this game. Somebody pointed out on social media today that the LA Rams, 10-0 against teams that did not make the playoffs this year, 2-5 against teams that did. And the only teams they beat that did make the playoffs this year were the Buccaneers in Week 3 and the Cardinals on that Monday night game. They lost every other time they played against the playoff team. The Cardinals, in the inverse, are the flip of that. They're 5-2 against playoff teams, with their most recent playoff victory coming, or victory against a playoff team, came against the Cowboys just a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if that gives anybody any kind of hope about this game whatsoever, but there are some questioning just how good the LA Rams are.
First of all, I want to give them credit. They're 10-0 against you. If you win the games you're supposed to win, you get to go to the playoffs. They get to go to the playoffs. They get to host a game in the playoffs. So, I'm a big believer in, the games you're supposed to win, you got to win. And ultimately, that's the most important thing, is win the games that you're supposed to win. Now, the games that, were toss-ups and games that you're not supposed to win, you could split those maybe. Obviously their record wasn't good. The Cardinals' record was better. So you can make that argument that the Cardinals against better competition. Look, if you want to point to one game for the Cardinals, it's the Cowboys game. That's the game. The Cowboys game. Now, I could say the Detroit game was the outlier. And I could say all these other games, like most of those games, the Seattle game was a close game. They didn't win. The Rams game that they lost was a close game. The Colts game was a close game. They ended up on the wrong end of close games. Mm-hmm. The Lions game was just, that was just that one weird game. Kind of like the Carolina game, as well. The Carolina game and the Lions game are the two that stand out then, as those games just got away from them and they weren't able to recover.
Yeah. And I think I know where you're going with this Cowboys game, is that you point to the Cowboys game as recent proof that the Cardinals are more than capable of beating a good team on the road. And you could, the Rams' success, like we mentioned, it was the Cardinals and it was the Bucs way back in Week 3. The Cardinals have had more recent success. You brought up the Lakers in using kind of like an NBA comparison. Yeah. And I thought you were spot on with that. I thought when looking, the way Cardinals fans look at the Rams are the exact same way that I think Suns fans were looking at the Lakers. Like, you look at them and you go, okay, man, that's going to be a tough out. That's LeBron and it's AD and it's this and that and it's Stafford and it's OBJ and it's Aaron Donald and it's Jalen Ramsey and it's, but if you really look at it, they're not that bad. They're not so tough and they're not so unbeatable and they're not so scary as to make you think that you have no shot whatsoever of beating
like
that
Lakers.
Team. Right, like exactly,
yeah, like the Lakers.
Like
you're
the
not
Lakers.
So bad. I mean, like Rocky Balboa, you're not so bad. You look at the Rams and you look at a team that had the number one ranked defense in the league last year, but are 17th this year. And like, okay, they're deep. They have some star players. They have some star players, but they're not an overall great defensive team. I mean, they had a 17-0 lead they couldn't protect against Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco at home. Like, so they're not a great defense. You might get into a shootout. I would take the over if I was a bettor on this game. This might be one of those shootout-type games, I would think. Like, the Rams' offensive line, it's not a great offensive line. They don't do a great job of protecting Stafford. Stafford throws a lot of picks. You could find these reasons to look at the Rams and say, It's a good match. Now, if you were playing Green Bay right now, or if you were paying the Bucks, you'd be faking it, right? I'd be lying to you. I can come up with reasons why, but I don't believe in them. So that's the difference. I can find a reason why the Cardinals could beat the Packers, but I don't believe it. I can find a reason why the Cardinals could beat the Bucks, but I don't believe
it. But you believe this?
I can find a reason to tell reasons to tell you that the Cardinals could beat the Rams, and yeah, I believe it.
You believe it. Okay, so do I. I mean, it doesn't mean I think it's going to happen, but I certainly wouldn't be selling anybody a false bill of goods. I believe the Arizona Cardinals are very capable of beating. This is a very winnable game for Arizona. Very. The Rams are.
Yeah,
they're good, but they're not all that. They're not unbeatable. That's for sure. I know that for much.
Yeah, this is really going to come down to, you know, to me, how many guys are they going to get back? Like, they're, you know, I'm not expecting Robert Alford back from what I'm hearing today. Robert Alford's not going to be ready to go. He's one of your starting cornerbacks. But Marco Wilson, I've heard some good things on Marco Wilson. So I expect that Marco Wilson will be able to get back. That'll be good. Because when you get down to your fifth and sixth cornerback, as we saw last week, that's not good. That's trouble.
Bear Jackson celebrating 50 years as the world's great collector car auction. It returns to Westworld of Scottsdale January 22nd through the 30th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com for your complete details and your chance to win tickets. As we mentioned in the poll question, nearly half of the quarterbacks in this year's postseason, 26 years or younger. Is the new wave of quarterbacks starting to settle in, or is the old guard still the way to go? That's coming up. Burns and Gambo Show.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Again, a reminder for you, everything, because of the Monday night playoff game, everything's kind of pushed back a day this week as we welcome you back to the Burns and Gambo Show, which means tomorrow typically would be the day we'd hear from Kyler. Tomorrow typically would be the day we'd get our first injury report and hear from Cliff and get kind of an update on how guys are doing in terms of the injuries. It's probably not going to happen tomorrow because everything's pushed back a day. Thursday becomes the first day of practice, so how much is J.J. Watt able to do, given that report that's out there that he's going to return to practice on Thursday? We'll find out then. The James Conners of the world, the Marco Wilsons of the world, the Chase Edmonds of the world. Well, Thursday, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait that long to see what those guys are able to do, which, you know, kind of makes this week a little bit more of a waiting game than we're used to right now, Gambo, for
sure.
Like
I said, they're going to get most of those guys back, most of the guys that are out. I expect James Conner's going to be back. Marco Wilson's going to be back. Chase Edmonds is going to be back. I think there's a good chance that J.J. Watt is going to be able to play. The other guys, I think there are big question marks. You know, there are question marks. DeAndre Hopkins is, you know, he's at that point in the injury where it's about time where he could start doing some things. I think if the Cardinals go beyond this week, I think there's definitely a chance he'd play the next week. I would say there's a chance this week, but not like, I'm not going to say likely with DeAndre Hopkins, but Marco Wilson, yeah, expect Marco Wilson to play. James Conner, yes. Chase Edmonds, yes. A lot of those other guys I expect will be out there and playing this week. But they're not going to get everybody back, right? Robert Alford's not going to be back for this game. They're not going to get everybody back, but they should get most of those guys back.
See, hitting zoom out and looking at the playoffs as a whole, they start on Saturday with two games, three on Sunday, and then, of course, the Cards-Rams on Monday night. This from our friend Mike Jarecki over at the Arizona Cardinals. Six starting quarterbacks this year are under the age of 27.
Patrick, this is a great story.
I think so, too.
Patrick, I love this.
Patrick Mahomes is 26. Josh Allen is 25. Joe Burrow is 25. Kyler's 24. Jalen Hurts is 23. Mac Jones is 23. Four age 25 or younger quarterbacks making their playoff debut. The only postseason with more was last year, actually, with seven quarterbacks that young making their playoff debut. We all know these things are cyclical. We all know there's a new generation of quarterbacks, but it does seem like that this wave of young quarterbacks is poised potentially to one day kind of take over the league if some of them haven't already, in particular in Patrick Mahomes, right?
You want the good news?
Sure.
When I look at this list and I just look overall at these players, like Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. What do all those guys have in common?
You got me. What do they all
have
in common?
They're all in the AFC.
They are all in the AFC.
I think that the Blue Bloods, I think it's the AFC. I don't think the NFC. I think Kyler's going to be the best quarterback in this conference pretty soon. You know, I think that it really bodes well for the NFC doesn't have what the AFC has. I mean, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. What does the NFC have? Young quarterback. Dak?
I'm looking.
He's 28.
What
do they have?
They don't. they don't have much. They've got
Justin
Trey Lance.
Fields?
They've got Trey Lance in San Francisco.
Maybe.
They've got
maybe?
Justin Fields in Chicago.
Maybe. I mean, but nothing says that, like,
Daniel Jones, no. You know, they just fired their coach today. Jalen Hurts, I'm not a big fan.
The NFC, Kyler's the best young guy in the NFC.
Yes, he is. I that's a really good catch by you.
The AFC's loaded.
I wasn't even thinking about it like that. That's a really, really good catch by you. I mean, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
I love the spot that the Cardinals are in. And there's not going to be there's not expected to be a great young quarterback drafted this year. I mean, the Pittsburgh kid might be the highest kid, and he might not even go in the top five. But when I look at the great young quarterbacks in this, you love Justin Herbert.
I do.
You love Joe Burrow.
I love both of those guys.
Josh Allen, great.
I think those guys play all day long. Yeah.
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be really good. I love Lamar. Like, those guys are all in the AFC. There are so many great young quarterbacks in the AFC. So many great young quarterbacks in the AFC. And in the NFC, I mean, just go through it. The Giants don't have a quarterback. Washington doesn't have a quarterback. The Cowboys have Dak. He's 28 years old. I like him, but I don't love him.
Yep.
Green Bay's got Rodgers. He's old. The Bears, they don't really have a quarterback. The Lions don't have a quarterback. Oh, Jared Goff played well the last five games. Yeah, those games didn't matter. Who cares? Russell Wilson, you know, he's older, and the team's no good. You know, the 49ers, I mean, they drafted Trey Lance, but it's Jimmy Garoppolo that's leading him into the playoffs.
Yeah, and we don't know how good Trey Lance is going to be, and we don't know how good Justin Fields are going to be. Those are two young quarterbacks that I know those markets think very highly of, but we have no idea what those guys are going to turn out to be.
But we certainly we don't look at them the way you look at Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert.
No, but you know what the NFC has that the AFC doesn't is two older quarterbacks who don't look like they're going anywhere. In terms of their ability, in terms of their skill set.
Now, why'd you have to go ruin everything?
Sorry, I know. It's just point counterpoint.
Why'd you have to really?
Because it's just, I gotta keep you honest over here, Gambo. That's part of my job. Every time I sit down and I do contract negotiations, that's one of my job descriptions, is you keep Gambo honest. Okay, that's what I'm doing.
At some point, Tom Brady is not going to play football anymore.
But predicting when that is has become impossible to do. Predicting when Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be good at playing football anymore has become impossible to do. And I know it could happen literally any day with either one of those guys given their age. But the way they're playing right now, the MVP of this league is going to come down to one of those two guys. Bruce Arians the other day was on a soapbox telling everybody, if it's not Tom Brady, it's a travesty. Well, I got news for you, Bruce. It ain't going to be Tom Brady. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. He's two old dudes who are battling it out for MVP, who do reside in the same conference as the Cardinals. And that's the one little fly in the ointment here when it comes to your theory. And it's a good one. It's a really good one. That these two older quarterbacks, I just don't see the end in sight for either one of them.
That's right. But, you know, I mean, you know, when Kyler Murray's 30, you know, those guys, you got to think that those guys aren't going to be in the
league.
Oh,
sure. By then, yes. By then, absolutely.
And then maybe it's by 27. Maybe it's by 28. You know, maybe Tom Brady gets a freaking hobby. Like, maybe at some point he does a hobby.
You know what? His hobby.
He does have a hobby. He trades NFTs and crypto.
Yeah, no, his hobby is beating teams. That's his hobby. He's so singular of purpose. What else does the dude do? He eats avocado ice cream, for the love of God. What else does he want to do but beat teams? That's it. Who would eat the things that he eats if you had a hobby other than winning football games? That's it. It's his whole life. It's all he's got.
Do you think, like, the day he retires, he's like, hey, get me that Cherry Garcia Ben & Jerry's?
Totally. Yeah, I think I would.
Can I get a fudge brownie?
Look, if Tom Brady were really treating his body like this temple, you know, and this TB12 plan and all that stuff, you think he's walking off that celebration yacht drunk on tequila the way he was when they won the Super Bowl last year? I mean, come on, right? Right?
I'm sure he has a few days a year.
I'm sure he does, too.
Let's it all go.
I'm sure he is. Isn't that what The Rock does? I think if you like, and I don't, but I've seen pictures where if you follow him on social media, he is like strict regimented on his diet, but once a week he gives himself a cheat day and he cheats. I mean, he just like, look at the pizza, look at the burgers, look at the brownies, look at the ice cream. It's my cheat day. I'm going nuts. I eat perfectly the rest of the week. I let it go to hell one day a week just to give myself that out, because otherwise I'd go crazy. Tom Brady's got to have a cheat day. He's got to.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. To my point, I understand Ben's going to be out in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
I still like, you know, like if I look at the picture the next 2 years, okay, yeah, I don't like going up against Rodgers and Brady, but if I break it down into a 5 year period or a 7 year period or a 10 year period, I think the AFC is loaded with star talent, and the NFC is not.
Text us your thoughts. The FanDuel text line, it is open for you. As always, during the Burns and Gambo show, you can text us at 620-620. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we'll continue to talk about the Cardinals, and we'll look about what a win would mean in defining their season, and we'll also give you the latest on some interview requests made to the Cardinals when it comes to their front office and their coaching staff. That's coming up here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.